Well, Dinu Simcha, we began Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph with the Sugya of Rav Huna. Let's just quickly review. We spoke about a case of a matben, which is like a haystack that's located between two chatzeros. And the Mishnah said that on each side, the Baal or Bnei Achatzer are allowed to feed their animals from the matbein, and we're not afraid that on Shabbos the animals are going to eat so much that it's going to reduce the gova, the height of the matbein, in such a way that it's no longer 10 tfachim high. And we go with the Chazaker Meikar. The assumption is that just like at the beginning of Shabbos, it's Asar Tfachim High, so too, even after the animals eat on this side and on that side, it still remains Asar Tfachim. Because if we were to be afraid that the Matbein would be Nismait, it would be lower than 10 Tfachim, then at that point we would require an Eruv to be matted tiltul in the Chatzah, because now the two Chatzeros are connected to each other with a Pesach. And Rav Huna said that that's only as far as the animal is concerned. As far as the human being, if he wants to actively get involved in feeding his animal, then here we're very limited. We're only going to allow him to stand in a location and move from one location to the other such that he guides the animal to eat from the matbein. But we're not going to allow him to eat directly, to feed directly by hand the animals, because then we're afraid that he, as opposed to the animals, will grab too much of the tevin and he won't pay attention to the fact that it was nismayit. And therefore, what we're going to allow is only mamid odom esbehemto. A person can only stand in such a way that the animal is being guided to eat from the tevin. And the last thing that we touched upon was akasha, from what looks like a contradiction between one statement of Rabbi Yehuda and another one. Because Rav Huna, in another context, quotes Rabbi Chanina, and here we're talking about a chashash of tlisha, which means not like the case that we're dealing with in our mission of a haystack, that the haystack is not growing from the ground, it's totally detached. But what about feeding your animal from grass that's actually growing on the ground? And therefore, we have to worry about the possibility that he may inadvertently pull the grass out of the ground and violate the Iser of Tlisha. And here Rav Huna said that in the case of a chashash tlisha, we're not afraid, and we're going to allow a person to actually take his animal and do what's called mamid. Mamid means to place the animal on the grass. And he's very close, as we discussed last week, to the point at which he might rip out the grass and feed the animal. But we're not afraid of such a thing, because that's already a violation of a doraisa. In the case in our Mishnah, if he were to take the hay and diminish its height, then in the worst case scenario, there would be a violation of an Issa Durabanon. But in this case, we're not afraid that he would rip out the grass in order to feed his animal. No one would think of ripping out a grass on Shabbos. That's an Issa d'oraisa. People are are very careful about that. So there's no chashash, as we would say. Then Rav Huna goes ahead and he says, V'ein mamid odem espehem to al gabi mukta b'shabbos. He's not allowed to take his animal and place it down on mukta to eat mukta, because we're afraid if he does so, he's coming too close, and he may actually lift up the mukta in order to feed it to his animal. So we see that the rule of thumb, according to Rav Huna, is that when are we afraid a person might actually grab on to the object in order to feed his animal if we allow him to put the animal right there on top of the food? That's only if he might come to violate an Issur Drabbanan, like the case of Mukta. Then, since Mukta is not so chamur b'enei ha'adam, you know, people are not so nervous about Mukta, we're afraid that he might actually come and pick up the Mukta with his own two hands. But in the case of Asavim, there we're not afraid that he'll pick up the Asavim with his hands, because that would entail reaping, a violation of Melechas Ketzira. And now we're ready for a contradiction of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that in the case of Tevin in our Mishnah, it's also to take the Tevin with his hands, but he would allow him, apparently, to take the animal and lead the animal, schlep the animal, in what's called mamid, and put the animal on top of the haystack in order to eat the hay. Rav Huna is not worried about the possibility that he may take it with his hands. In the case of mukta, Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to put the animal on top of the mukta to feed it, because you might take it with your hands. So the Gemara answers that, in truth, even in our Mishnah, Rav Huna would prohibit you from taking the animal and being mamited on top of the tevin, the mitbein. You know, to really put the animal on top of it, you're so close, you're inches away from feeding the animal with your hands. The Mishnah says you're allowed to feed the animals. It means the koim le'biapi v'ozle v'ochle. It's a case where he stands at a distance and he guides the animal to the matbein, but he doesn't actually be mamid, he doesn't put the animal on top of the matbein, because that would certainly constitute a violation of an Issur Drabbanan. We're afraid that he might feed the animal with his hands. So here's where we got up to last week, and we're looking about two-thirds of the way down from the top of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, and the line starts with the words Velo Yitein. And an easy way of finding it, perhaps, is if you draw a straight line from Tosus on the left, the Kimle, which is the third and a half of Tosus, and then you drop down one line. Velo Yitein, Letoch Kupaso. Is it really true that you're not allowed to take the Tevin and collect it into some sort of receptacle in order to feed your animal, and Rav Huna is going to only allow you to stand at a distance and guide the animal towards the food, but not to collect the Tevin with your hands and put it into a kupa? For Sanya, we have a brisa that says, Bayis Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, if you have a house that's located between two courtyards, Umilu Tevin. You know what? I'm just reminding myself that we actually did this. So, okay, can't hurt to do a review on this. And ma'arvim shnayim v'ein ma'arvim echot, which means that there's no possibility of one Eruv for both of these Chatzeros. And they are separate, independent Chatzeros. Ze no sein l'toku posel v'yachil, v'ze no sein l'toku posel v'yachil. It seems that the Brisa is going to allow you in this case to actually fill up with your hands, fill up your kupa, you know, your basket. Not like Rav Huna said in our Mishnah that that's prohibited. Then the Brisa continues, Nismayit ha-teven me'asor tfachim, shneim asurim. If as a result of the fact that each one on this side, this bias here on the right and this bias on the left, they grabbed so much of the Tevin into the Kupa that now it is no longer 10 Tvachim high, then Asurim. And Ketzaruo says, so what can he do on Shabbos in order to allow and permit taking from the house into the chotzer, in both cases, the bayisir or the bayisir, into this chotzer, that chotzer, noel es beso, one of them should lock up his house, umevatel es reshuso, and he should give up his, so to speak, ownership rights over his domain, and then hu aser v'chaveru muta, he's not allowed to carry from his house into the chotzer, because he was mevatel es reshus. And now the bias is Ome Bishus Chavero v'Chavero Mutar, but his friend is Mutar. Here we had a long discussion, if you remember, about a Ritva and a Rashi. Okay, I'm not going to go through that again now. V'chein ata Omer Begov Shel Tevin She Ome Ben Shnei Tchume Shabbos. So here's a case where you have a ditch, a wide ditch, and you usually place your hay inside this ditch, and the ditch is located exactly at the overlap of 2,000 amma to two different cities. So you have 2,000 amma outside the bounds of this city, 2,000 outside the bounds of the nearby city, and right in the middle you have a ditch, and it's full of tevin, of hay. And what we're going to do is we're going to allow each one of the cities on the right and on the left to grab on and take tevin up to the end of the 2,000 amma on each side. So the Gemara asks, "Ktani miyas?" One thing we see from the Braisa, "Zeno sin toku pas v'yachil, zeno sin toku pas v'yachil." We're not afraid that he may take too much into his kupa, and it'll be memai to tevin from 10 tefachim to less than 10 tefachim. It'll continue carrying, and there's no eru. So why does Rav Huna in our Mishnah say in the case of the matvein between two chatzeros, you're not allowed to fill it up with your hands into a kupa? Amri, so the Gemara answers, Bayis kevan de'ika tikra ki mifchas minkara le milsa. Right? You remember that we discussed that the onlooker could see the gap between the top of the tevin and the ceiling. And therefore we're not afraid that if it gets lower, he won't notice it. It's very noticeable. But hacha in our Mishnah, where you have a matbein between two chatzeros, and there's no roof on top, is lo minkara le milsa. It could very well be that if we allow him to gather together the tevin and put it into his kupa, he might actually reduce the height below 10 of the matvein, below 10 tefachim, and he doesn't even take note of it. If there's a roof, then there's a contrast between the top of the hay and the roof. But if there's no roof, there's no line going horizontally on top, he's not going to notice that all of a sudden it dropped. The Brisa says that Nismaida Tevin me'asor tefachim shneim asurim. That at the moment that the Tevin drops below 10 tefachim, then in both Chatzeros they can no longer carry on Shabbos. They can't take from the Chatz into the Bais or vice versa. So the Gemara says, Ho'asora Shori, if what was left to the Matvein was 10 tefachim high, it would be mutter. The Alpha Gav de Medalia Tikra Tuva. Could it be that the ceiling is very, very high? And the premise here is that the Matbein serves as a mechitza, such that each chatzer is now independent and you can carry, you don't need an eruv between the two chatzeros. And the absolute requirement, or the clincher, I should say, is the fact that this matbein, this tevin, is 10 tefachim high. Well, it could be that the covering here, meaning the ceiling, is much, much higher up. So the reason why the matbein separates the two chatzeres is because it's 10 tefachim and it serves as a mechitza. Shma mino mechitza sheinu magios latikra shmon mechitza. Now back on Daf Ayin Beis, we had a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, and Beis Hillel were actually of the opinion that a mechitza sheinu magios latikra ainu nechsheves mechitza. It's not called a mechitza. And here we have a case of some matbein that's 10 tefachim high, and it doesn't reach the ceiling, and yet we consider it as a mechitza, and now we separate the two chatzeros. He says in the footnote, Le'el, back in the Gemara, we had Nechliku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel B'chamisha Chaburos Sheshovsu B'traklin Echad V'cholku Es HaTraklin Chamisha Chalokim Beit Shammai HaMechitzos Mechalkos Osam Ukshem rotim lasos eruvim shar abatim shebechot tzrichu kol chabur laseis chelik be'eruv leisil einam achitzos mechalkos be'neim v'chol chaburos yachad nosnos chelik echad b'tarovos. And according to Reb Chia, the machlokes between Beisil Beit Shammai is in a case of machitzos shemechalkos Beina chaburos magios lekarka, and therefore im eno magios letikra, magios letikra. I meant to say, aval im eno magios letikra af Beit Shammai modim sheino machitza mechalekes beinayim, venosnim kulam chelik echad. But there's another shita. Apparently, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, he holds that the machlokus is in machitza sheino magios letikra. And only in that case do they still say that we're not mechalik beinehem, because we require mechitzos hamagios letikra. So Agamar is asking, we have a case of magios sheinam tikros letikra, which according to Beis Hillel is not a valid mechitza. Omar Abaye, hocha bebayis shlosha asar. Shloshasar chaser masha. So wait, I just want to correct one thing that I may have made a mistake. I don't know, I don't remember anymore if I did make this mistake, but just in case. We're now talking about the Braisa, not the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a matbein that has no tikra on it. But the Braisa, if you remember, spoke about a bias between two chatzeros. And a bias, by definition, has a tikra. Okay, I just wanted to mention that. Hacha bebayis shloshasar chaser masha. That the tikra of this house is slightly less than 13 tefachim. The teven asara tefachim. So the distance now between the height, the top of the teven, and the ceiling of the house is less than 3 tefachim. And if you have two objects that are less than 3 tefachim apart, one from the other, we apply the principle of lavud. And therefore, it makes it equal to a case of mechitzos magios letikra. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Amar, Afilu Temer Bibayas Asora. Even if you'll assume that this house and the Tikra is only 10 Tvachim high, the Tevin Shivo Mash, then all I need in the height of the Tevin is 7 plus, and therefore I already have Lavud. The Chol Pachas Mishlasha Kil Lavud Dami. Now, why, let's just get the names for a second. Why is it that Abaye did not accept Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua and interpret the Bryce as referring to 10 Tfachim high and the Tevin is Sheva and Mashu? And he says here in the footnote that Abaye holds that Mechitza Ara'it Kimoa Tevin, a temporary Mechitza, like this hay, I mean, he's not leaving the hay there for the rest of... is ba'ofen kazeh she'ein ha'machitza magil ha'kaka ein omrim lovud. In other words, you need a bona fide, full-fledged machitza in order to apply the principle of lovud. But here you have a temporary machitza that's not permanent, and we don't apply the principle of lovud, and therefore it's not magia litikra. And basically what you see here is that Abaye could not activate the principle of lovud in a case of a temporary mechitza. But the Mishnah itself seems to indicate that Abaye is correct. I shouldn't say the Mishnah again, I made that mistake once, not make it again in the Braisa. Bishleim el Abaye dekatoni me'asora. Right, if we go back to the Lashon of the Braisa says that Bayis Shebein Shtei Chatzeros Umilo Tevin Ma'arvim Shnayim Eina Nosin Yachil Nismayda Tevin Me'asor Tfachim. So it's clear from the language of the Braisa that the Tevin is 10 Tfachim high, which is not true according to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says that the Tevin is only seven plus Tvachim high, is Ela L'Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Maya Sora. What does it mean that the Tevin was Nismait Maya Sora? It wasn't Asora to begin with. He says, "Ma'u nismait b'atevim me'asor shom v'braisa rei maspik sh'atevim yegavor rak shiva tfachim u'mashu." The tevin itself, since the tikra is 10 tfachim high from the ground, above the ground, then the tevin itself has to be 7 and a mashu according to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So what does the language of Asora, what does it mean in the braisa? And the answer is mitoras asora. In other words, once there's a miut of the tevin, it doesn't have 7 tfachim in a mashu, then you cannot apply the principle of lavud. It's too distant from the tikra, and we can't see the tevin as if it had a toras asora tfachim. Now the Braisa says that Nismait HaTevin Me'asorah Tfachim Shneim Asurim. Now all this happens on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, a mechitza that was valid and it was 10 Tfachim high at the outset of Shabbos now goes down, and we're going to say that no one's allowed to carry. Shma Minah Diyurin Aboyim V'Shabbos Asurim. We should derive from this Braisa that if people come to live in a chatzar on Shabbos, they generate an Iser on the B'nai chatzar. In other words, at the point of the onset of Shabbos, you were allowed to carry into this chatzar because there were no other Dayorim there. But now Dayorim came in, they moved in on Shabbos, and we're going to have to assume that now they generate an Iser on the B'nai HaChatzar. Why? Because the diurim aboim b'shabbos asurim. We're not going to say that, well, since this mechitza was valid at the onset of Shabbos, and that separated the two chatzeros, therefore it remains a mechitza for the balance of Shabbos, and they're allowed to carry. Right, we're not going to say that because we said that in this case it became also on Shabbos. So diurim aboim b'Shabbos asurim. People move into a chotzer in the middle of Shabbos. You're going to say that now, you know, the whole story of the head to tiltle changes, and it becomes also. I'll just read quickly the Hebrew. He says, "Anoshim aboim lodur v'chotzer v'Shabbos osrim al bnei chotzer taltol v'Shabbos v'ein omrim kevon shayu mutul taltol v'chotzer v'tchilas haShabbos." Konim shebo shom diurim elu is mutol etaltol afli acher shebo sharekan afli acher shenismayid ha-teven adayin abatim mukofim mechitzos v'enom asurim rak mishum shebeknisa Shabbos hoyu habatim kishtei reshuyos nifrados ubnei kol bayis sholtu b'chilek acher shal habayis ha'imtzoi v'achshav b'shabbos shenismata ha'mechitza b'chitza teven nasu kol habatim b'rshus achas ubnei kol bayis sholtim b'chol habayis ha'imtzoi hareza kamo shenisvasvu diurim b'chol echem habatim. So that when the mechitza loses its status as a mechitza because it's no longer 10 tefachim high, then it comes out that those who live in that chatzer now have deer in my chatzer. And we now have, you know, one rishus achas. All the batim together form one rishus. And now we're going to say that deerim aboim b'shabbos asurim. So does that therefore mean that if people move into the chatzer on Shabbos now, Dirun Asurim? And that'd be especially relevant about a goy. Remember that a goy also generates an Isur. So the Gemara answers, Dilma, di imayet mi esmol. In truth, we're going to say that Dirun Aboyim b'Shabbos enom osrim. Aye, the Brisa says that in Nismayit HaTeven Shneim Asurim, that's a case of Imayit Me Esmol. In other words, already going into Shabbos on Friday afternoon before Bein HaShmoshos, it was already Nismayit, it was already less than Tentfoch. The Brisa says, Keitzaru Oseh, Noel Espeso Mevato Rishus Otarte? Why does he have to do two? Why does he have to lock up his door and be mevatel's rishus? Even if he would lock up his door, that itself would be the same as bittel, because he's revealing his das, that he's mesalik himself, he's completely removed from this house. It's just like he was mevatel. So why do we need that he actively has to enunciate this proclamation, I'm being mevatel my rishus? It should be certainly sufficient if he locks up his door. And the Gemara answers, Hachinami o noel espeso o mevatlus v'shuso. So the first answer, the Gemara says, you have to add the word o to the Mishnah, and there are two options. He can either lock up his door, and once he does so, that's already a bittul. He's already revealing his das that he wants to get out of this house. You know, he's mesalik himself in the bayis. Or alternatively, without locking up his door, he just declares that I'm being mevata. He makes that declaration that I'm being mevata my rishus. Iboy sema li olam tarti, that in truth, the brisa requires two conditions to be fulfilled. You need to be mevata your rishus, and also to be noel your baisa. your bias. Even though, in order to be matir, hishtamshus shel chaver b'bayis, if he wants to be matir his friend using the bayis, then dai b'meshu mevatlos reshuso. Mikol makom li'atzmo omru chachomi shetzor kam linol es beiso. And the reason for that is came under doshbe osi l'teltule. That since it's very common, and they got used to using this bias, if they don't lock up the bias, then osi l'teltule, there's a chash that they'll come to be metaltil from their bias into the other bias, because that's what they got used to. And therefore, we're going to require two conditions to be fulfilled. It's got to be both Noel es Beso, and at the same time, he has to be mevatel his rishus. So let me just read to you a footnote here. He says the following. The Braisa requires both actions. Number one, that he lock his house. And number two, that he renounce his rights in the house, in the middle house. And since he's accustomed to carrying into the middle house, he might come to carry into the middle house even now that the straw partition is abrogated. Hence, in addition to renouncing his rights, he must take the extra precaution of locking his door. Now, the Braisa says that once he was mevatel his rishus, hu asu v'chaver muta pshita. In other words, if you're mevatel your rishus, then you no longer have rishus, so you can't carry from that house. On the other hand, you mevatel rishus to your neighbor, and now obviously he could carry into your house. So what's the chiddush of this brisa? Is lo tzricha da hadar idach ubatale lechavre. Each one was mevatel his rights, and he says relinquish his rights in the middle house back to his friend. V'komashbalon mevatlim v'chozrim u'mevatlim. Okay, so this was a sugya that we had back on daf Samaches. Anyway, a few blad ago. And the question is whether or not there is reciprocal bittul. That bittul, and then there's a chazora, and you could be mevatel again. So what happens here is that the Mishnah is coming to Mechadesh that did I read it mevatlim? I meant to say ein mevatlim. I'm sorry, I left out the main word. Ein mevatlim v'chozrim mevatlim. In other words, once, let's call him Shimon, he was mevatel his rishus, he relinquished his rights to his chatzah to Reuven. Reuven cannot turn around and relinquish his rights back to Shimon. So he writes here, though when people relinquish their rights in a chatzah for the benefit of others, the others may not turn around and relinquish their rights back to the first party. V'chein ata omer begov shel teven shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. Right, so we said there was a bar, a ditch, that was between the end of the Tchum Shabbos, the 2,000 am outside this city, and the end of 2,000 am outside this city, and straw can be taken from both sides by the people who live either in this city or in that city. Pshita, what was the Havamina? Why would I have thought otherwise? Lo tzricha L'Rabbi Akiva diomer tchumin do raisa ma'u detema ligzar dilma osi lechlufe. Chamash molon, you would have said that since this ditch with straw in it is located exactly at the overlap between this city's 2,000 amah and this city's, if you start cutting that, you know, with a thin knife in half, you may end up with a situation where members of this city will grab onto Tevin that's beyond the Tchum, and it belongs to the other city. And in order to avoid this, we're going to be machadish that Tchumin is the Rabbana, meaning that although it's true that if we would accept Rabbi Akiva Shi, that Tchumin is the Raisa, we'd have to be machmir, that maybe in this area that's not marked clearly, you know, which is the end of his tchum, which is the end of his tchum. Is in a Doraisa, according to Rabbi Akiva, for example, you would be machmir and say we have to make a gzera otu, the violation of a Doraisa. But kamash malan, tchumin is only derabbanon. And therefore, we can be mekil, and we don't have to be choshesh, that if we allow him to take from his side, and him from his side, that they might go chutz l'tchum and pick up the straw that's really outside the tchum of Shabbos. And this leads us to the new Mishnah here in the middle of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Ketzad mishtatvim b'mavu. So if you recall, we said that you had many chatzeros, and they all spill into a common mavui that'll take them out to Rishus HaRab. So they therefore have to do what's called a shituf mevos. And the Gemara wants to know, what are the regulations and the requirements to create a shituf mevos? Is the Mishnah says, Meniach es hachovis, he puts a barrel, that's his own personal barrel. V'omer harezu l'chol b'nei hamovu. This is what we call zochin li'odom shelo b'fano. That one of the individuals can be zoche in his own barrel on behalf of all the other b'nei hamovu. In other words, when you do a zochin li'odom shelo b'fanav, meaning you want to acquire something on behalf of someone else. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you ever had this. You're a guest at someone's meal for Shabbos. These days that's unlikely, but let's say you got invited as a guest. You want to bring a bottle of wine or, you know, a box of chocolates, whatever you want to bring. Now, you don't want to give it to them on Shabbos because they can't make a kinyan on Shabbos. You want to be zoche on this object on their behalf before Shabbos. So you can't just lift it up and say, you know, this bowl of cherries of mine belongs to so-and-so. Or this bottle of wine that I bought with my own money belongs to Yena. What you have to do is you have to give it over to someone else, and that person will acquire it on behalf of the balabais, of the host. And the same thing applies now in Shitufei Mavos, that all the members of the Mavui, all the members of various chatzeres that use that Mavui, each one has to have ownership rights in the sheet of mavos, and one person can be zoche on behalf of all the others, but he has to give it over to someone else. So he brings his own barrel of wine, and now he wants to be zoche on behalf of all the bnei hamavui. How does he accomplish that goal? And the answer is he gives it to banav ubnei. What's the language? To banav ubito hagdol, because in Toras Kinyonim, we need a gadol. I mean, she at the age of 12, he at the age of 13. he says al yidei avdo v'shivchos ha'ivrim, or he could be zocha through his eved or shivcha. These are Jewish. Again, they underwent a partial geirus, but enough for geirus that they are considered, like, as far as kinyanim is concerned, they're considered like a Jew. But lo al yidei bito b'no bito aktan v'al yidei ishto, aval einu mezake lo al yidei bito b'no bito aktanim v'lo al yidei avdo v'shivchos aknan v'nei sheyadon ki yado. Now, we have to split two phrases such that the last phrase is going on only one of the two phrases, meaning when the Mishnah adds "v'nei sheyadon ki yado," that's referring to Eved v'shivcha, meaning kol ma shezocha Eved zocha rabo. The Eved, when he wants to make a kinyan yad, he's doing so as an extension of his adon, of his master. He doesn't have an independent yad. Now, in the case of bino ubito haktanim, there's a much more fundamental problem, and that is that they don't have a yad at all. A katan doesn't have a yad. So l'chora, I don't need to come on to the Gemara, the Mishnah's explanation, the justification. Nation yadon ki yado. That's very fancy, and we have to understand what it means. But it's l'chora, it's unnecessary. So this leads us to the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis. So the barrel contains an amount that's sufficient for everyone's contribution, and the formal act of transferring ownership consists of the recipient or his proxy lifting up the object. The current owner cannot be the proxy for the recipient, for his act of lifting the object is not considered a transfer of the object from one domain to another, since the object is still physically in the domain of the current owner. And therefore, certain other people, such as young children of the current owner who are still under their father's control, are likewise disqualified from acting as a shliach, as a proxy, for their hand is considered the hand of the owner. So again, he's taking this very literally, that the last part of the Mishnah of Yadon Ki Yado applies even to the ratio of Al Yidei Bino Ubito Ketanim. I didn't think that was necessary. In any event, he says, since a man does not have monetary control over his adult children, they may act, therefore, as proxies vis-a-vis their own father. Actually, anyone may serve as a proxy, not only the people mentioned here. These are only mentioned in contradistinction with those categories that are disqualified in the last part of the Mishnah. The act of transferring ownership of the shituf consists of a declaration by its owner to the proxy, charging him to accept the shituf and to confer its ownership upon all the residents of the mavui, and of the proxies lifting the barrel one tefach, as the Gemara is going to explain later. Now, there's a dispute in Bab Metzia Daf Yud Beis amongst the Amoraim as to whether even an adult child is considered subject to his father's monetary control regarding certain aspects, if he's samach al shulchan of his board, he is sustained by his father. In other words, the father's paying the bills. Rishonim have machlokas, whether the machlokas amoroim has any relevance concerning the Erev law. Some insert that according to all amoroim, an adult may confer ownership, even if he is dependent upon his father for board. Others disagree, and they require a gadol who's eino samach al shulchan aviv. Now, the precise age for a girl, as it's relevant in this law, that has to be taken under advisement in Tosfos Yom Haskel umizake, which is, I think, the fourth Tosus down the page. Now, as far as an Eved is concerned, an Eved Ivri is not the property of his master. He's more like a, like a sachir. So although one has placed himself into servitude, he nevertheless regains legal control over his own possessions. So that's something that Amir Tzashem will try to pick up later on in the sugya. Now, as far as the previous sugya is concerned, and the Gemara suggested a havamina of Ligzar Dilma Osi Lechlufe according to Rabbi Akiva's Tchumin Doraisa. Rabbi Akiva darshins Tchumin Doraisa from that which it says in the Orim of the Levium. It says, Umidosam Michutz Le'ir Espa'as Kedma Alpayim Ama. And right before that, the Torah says, "Umugrashei ha'arim asher titnu l'alvim mikir ha'ir v'chutza elef ama saviv." So Rabbi Kiva darshins that the migrash of the ir halavim, which is only 1,000 ama, but that which it says that he has to be modei 2,000 ama, that's as far as Tchum Shabbos is concerned. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ber Yosi Aglili, he interprets it that we give the Levium around their cities 2,000 Amma. And when the Pasuk says that Migrashei Ha'orim were Elef Amma, that's only Mitoch, in other words, from the 2,000 Amma that we give to Levium around their cities, they have to have one Amma Sviv, which is an ear, Sviv Ha'ir, which is a Migrash, where you don't plant or any seeds or any trees. But the balance, they can use for sados and krumim. And all this is codified in the Mishnah in Sota and Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Now the Ritva says the following. Even according to Rabbi Kiva, the Iser Doraisa only applies when he goes chutz l'tchum. But when he stands inside the tchum and he wants to bring something inside the tchum, that's not osu doraisa. And here in the Dilma osi lechlufe, we're afraid that he'll take tevin from this gove, from this ditch that stands outside the tchum. He's not leaving the tchum. So in that case, there would not be an isu doraisa. So the Ritva says that the Bryce is coming to teach us that according to Rabbi Kiva, we don't have to be afraid that maybe he'll come to take something chutz l'tchum, he won't be paying attention to the fact that he's taking it chutz l'tchum. He himself will go chutz l'tchum in order to take the tevin from there and bring it towards him. He's going to violate the Issa Doraisa according to Rabbi Kiva of Yitzia chutz l'tchum. Now, we mentioned that the Mavui is what's called the Rishus HaMeshutefes L'chol B'nei HaMavui. And the Chatzeros, each one of them is a Rishus for the Bnei Oso Chotzebul Vat. The Chacham said that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from Rishus HaYochid of one person or of many people into the Rishus HaYochid that is Mishutefes, that is partnered up with the people in a different Rishus. Kadesh Lo Yovel LaHotzim Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRab. And when they created the institution of Shituf, it became Mutu Lahotzi Mechatzeres L'mavui, because then all the Chatzeres are considered like one Rishus, and they're all partners in one Mavui, which makes them Shutofim B'chol HaChatzeros. Now, it's Pashut that they can make a Shituf by each person of each member of the Bnei HaChotzer giving a pas or yayin and putting it all in one place. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that we don't need dafka, that all the Bnei, every single last one of the Bnei HaMavui has to bring his pas or his yayin. But one of the Bnei HaMavui, if he wants to do so, can create a shita for all the Bnei HaChotzer, all the Bnei HaMavui, through
being machne the chavis to all bnei amavui, and that's sufficient. And the Ritva says that this din applies even to eruv chatzeros, not just to sheet of mevos, because eruv chatzeros, again, one of the bnei achotzer could be zoch in the pas for all the bnei achotzer, and he could place it for the purpose of eruv. And in that sense, there's an equation here between mavui and a chotzer in everything that it says in the Mishnah. Now, why then did the Mishnah tell me this chiddush in shitufei mevos and not in eruv chatzeros? That's because in a mavui, it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that you would have thought that an eruv, he's makna to the bnei achotzer, because he has a certain kiruv adas, so to speak, a relationship, a neighborly relationship between him and the bnei achotzer. So he doesn't mind if they eat from his eruv, and it's a full-fledged eruv. But in the case of mavui, he doesn't really have that kiruv adas so much with the bnei chatzeros acheros, the other chatzeros that partner up and use the same mavui, and therefore we would have thought that here with makbid, that im yochlu me'ashituf, it's not really a good shituf. He's makbid on his eruv, and therefore he's not really giving it to others from other chatzeros that are sort of far away from him, and that they would be allowed to eat from his shituf. So the Mishnah tells me, no, we don't say that. We say that even in shituf, one person can be zocha on behalf of all of them. Now, regilim laniach es kol perosem bechavis, they used to put their fruits into a barrel, and the chavis in which the Mishnah refers to is either a chavis of yayin or a chavis shel peros. It matters not. Now again, he himself personally cannot be zocha on behalf of the bnei amavui, because he owns the chavis. In order to be mezaka the contents of the chavis to others, he needs to take it out of his rishus, out of the chavis. Or alternatively, that someone else should be zocheba on behalf of the bnei amavui. Now the Mishnah in Bav Metzia Daf Yud Beis says that Metzias bno ubito aktanim areilu shelo. Whatever they find belongs to their father. Umetzias bno ubito gdolim harein shalahem. But if his son or his daughter are past, they're no longer minors, they're past bar mitzvah, then whatever they pick up of a mitzvah is theirs. So the Amoraim there, as we indicated earlier, Shmuel holds that the Mishnah should be interpreted kipshuta, simple, straightforward, that every katan is mitziyosoli aviv, and every gadol is mitziyosoli atzma. That a katan cannot be zocha for himself on his own behalf, and therefore it belongs to the Aviv. And that's called Magbil Tzarech Aviv. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel, and he holds that the katan in that Mishnah is someone who's samach al Shulchan Aviv, even if he's by age a gadol. And a gadol is someone who's not samach al Shulchan Aruch, even if he's a katan. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, that katan yeshlo zchiyo liatzmo. But if he's samach al shulchan aviv, the rabbanim made a takana that his mitzvah should accrue to his father, so that they would avoid eva. And Tosus says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a shem gadol is misha'enu samach al shulchan aviv, is even a gadol in our Mishnah here is someone who's not samach al shulchan aviv. If he's samach al shulchan aviv, then even if he's a gadol according to his age, he cannot be zocha in the shituf on behalf of the bnei hamavui because he's samach al shulchan aviv. So Tosus asks Akasha, if that be the case, then what about shivchaso? L'chora, she shouldn't be zocha in a shituf because she's smuch al shulchan adona. And Rabbi Natam answers that shivcha inin echsheva smucha al shulchan adona keman she ochelus bischar ma she oved eset, so instead of in lieu of payment and salary, she eats and is sustained by the adon. But that's not called samach al shulchan aviv. So it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam's premise is that the money is not being given to her from the Adon as food and sustenance. In other words, let her go and take this money and buy food, or he could buy food and so forth, but rather any monies that she gets, it's really salary money, and she spends it now on food to sustain herself. It's coming out of her pocket. She's acquiring ownership of it. And therefore, it's not a situation in which the ownership goes first into the hands of the Adon, into the Rishus of the Adon, and then from there to her. The Re, in that same Tosus, says that only in Bno, we said that if he's Samach al Shulchan, Shulchano shel Aviv is Yado ki Yad Aviv, because he's Rogil Lefarnaso, and we're afraid that if his Metziah would be Liatzmo, then maybe the father would cease and cut off, you know, the financial sustenance. But Shara Noshim, we don't say that Kol Shu Samach al Shulchan Achem Yado ki Yad Mishu Samach al Shulchano. It's only a separate takana that was made in the case of Beno, and therefore it's Yad Beno ki Yad Oviv, because he's Samach al Shulchan Oviv. Now, it's interesting that Tosus asked this kasha there from Shivcha. Why not from Eved? So the Marsha points out that it was always posher to Tosus that a gadol who has Zechia Midaraisa, certainly, even if he's Samach al Shulchano, he could be Zoche for the other Bnei Amovu. Tosus was only asking from Shivcha, she's Ketana, she's a Ketana, and therefore her Yad L'Zchiyah is not D'Oraisa. And here we would say that if she's Smuch al Shulchano, then she's not Zoche. And that's where we're going to stop for today. So let's just see if we can make a note of it. We have begun the Mishnah. We pretty much finished the Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Tesam and Beis, and Emir Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yehuda, which is about, I would say, 2/3 down the Amud here on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis.